is very impressive. Why is it that in the sequence of these offerings written in Leviticus, the burnt offering is the first one mentioned? For me, I would think, if it's for me, the sin offering should be the first one, because that's our main problem, right? What do you think is your main problem? Two, what is our main problem? You got it. Our main problem is that we are not absolute for the Father. Right? That is why the burnt offering is mentioned first, because man is created for God. You know, if the Lord would open your eyes, you will see that I have to be for God. You know, after man fell, man is not only for God, but man became God's enemies. And today you can see so many people, they are not for God, but they are against God. Right? They're atheists. They didn't even believe in the existence of God. And they even, sorry to say, make themselves God. Right? So this is a big problem. This is really a big problem. You have to realize that humanity is very important for God. Of all of God's creation, God created so many things, great and small, visible and invisible, right? In heaven and on earth and under the earth, in the sea and everything. God created so many things, countless. The most important thing is you. The most important of God's creation is man. You take away man in this world, what do you have? What do you have? Suppose there is no human being in New York. Will there be a New York? No, there won't be any New York. I don't know what there will be. It's going to be a jungle. Right? Man is a very special being. Man is a very, very special being. Right? And when God created man, remember, man should be for God. So man is created in a very special way. That's why you're very intelligent. Right? In a way, man is very similar to God, because man is created in God's image and in His likeness. Because God wants to make us children of God, sons of God, and even to rule for God. That's why we have seen so clearly the matter of the kingdom. You know, who is going to take the kingdom away from Satan's hands? Today it's written there in the Word of God, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. Right? Now who is going to take this whole world out of Satan's hands and bring the heavenly kingdom down to this earth? Who is going to do that? Just the Father? If it's just the Father who is going to do that, He should have done that long time ago. We, exactly. We, you know, if it is up to just God, that problem will be solved right away. He will just, and Satan will disappear and gone. And so who is going to do it again? We, that's a very good answer, we. But what kind of we? We as we are, just as we are. You think just as we are we can bring God's kingdom down to this earth? and fight with the principalities and powers, and finally cast them into the lake of fire and restore the kingdom of God on this earth and take away the rule from Satan's hand. Remember, Satan is called by the Lord Jesus the prince of this world. And even Paul used a stronger terms, the god of this world has blinded the eyes of those who believe not. So don't think Satan is not powerful. So just as you are and just as I am, do you think we can do that? Can you do that? So, what's going to happen? We know that old serpent, that ancient serpent, who is now a great red dragon, he had deceived man and planted his sinful nature into man. So man became corrupted, fallen. My, look at this world today, killing, wars, greed, covetousness, murders, right, and unrighteousness. Everywhere, everywhere. You can see that everywhere, right? Man is supposed to be like God, in God's image. Now he became like the devil. Corruption everywhere. Everywhere. The higher you went, the more corrupt you become. So don't try to be the prime minister. Look at the prime minister of Thailand. He is the biggest robber.
泰国的总理变成是不是总理啊，是什么总贼，把泰国的一切都偷去了，都空了，人只能够抓小贼，不能够抓大贼。
开始的时候，神创造人是照着他的形象造的，是荣耀的。神的生命要进到人的里面来，叫人跟神能够合一，来管理这个世界跟宇宙。神所要做的，这个是创世纪第一章告诉我们的。但是撒旦来了，把他的罪性。 坐到人的里面来了，人变成这个大罪人，无恶不作，什么都做得出来。Sorry, I'm speaking in tongues. 。For the sake of our dear brothers and sisters from China, you have to see there's a problem. A big problem in our world today. Now, who can solve this problem? Who? Christ. Who can solve the problem of sin? Only our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when he sang that song, the great Creator became our Savior. You have to appreciate that. Right. So tonight, that's why we're going to share concerning the sin offering. Although the sin offering is in the last two, it doesn't mean that they're not important. But according to purpose, of God's purpose, the burnt offering is number one. But according to the problem, a grievous, terrible problem, which the Lord has to solve, the last two are the most important. Number one is the sin offering. Who can take care of the problem of sin? Right? Even unfortunately, even we, the Christians, concerning sin, you still don't take it so seriously. Let me ask you really, from the heart I ask you, do you hate sin? Do you? Really? Hate it? Now, if you hate it, why do you still sin? I think you like sin. Don't be mad at me, huh? Sorry, huh? Paul said in his word, you still have not war against sin unto blood, the shedding of the blood. Do you war against sin? Or do you surrender? He who was without sin, he was made sin for us. Right? That is why I bring you back to the Gospel of John. Right in the very beginning, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. This is not a small matter, because sin will cut off our relationship with God. So when sin came into man, man is not only cut off from the tree of life, man became the enemy of God. And became, instead of one with God, man became one with Satan against God. So, at the end, in the last 3.5 years, the beast, the one who is going to appear to rule, at the very end, is called the man of what? Man of sin. The man of sin. Yes, of lawlessness. So, because at that time, sin will be matured to the uttermost. So, we really have to realize that this is a problem today. Not just among the unbelievers, but among the believers today. Right? That is why you need to know the last two offerings. The first one is the sin offering, and the second one is the trespass offering. My burden is not just to talk about it, but my burden tonight is to make you realize how terrible sin is. Right? Sin that dwells in my flesh. And the Bible calls this body the body of what? The body of sin. And the body of death. And why do we sin today? Because this body that we are carrying with us is a body of sin and a body of death. Sin and death reign in this terrible body. You have to have this kind of realization, because many times we love this body too much. Do you love your body? Don't you love your body? Did not Paul say, as long as we live in this tabernacle, we groan. Ah, terrible body. Terrible body. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from the body of this death, which includes sin, because death comes through sin. So do you feel wretched when you sin? Do you? Or you just feel, oh, sorry, that's what I am. You give yourself a lot of excuse. Well, sorry. Sorry, Lord. Just as I am, right? I think after this conference, nobody can sing that song anymore. Just as I am. You don't feel wretched, but you know, Paul felt wretched. The good that I desire to do, I do not. But the evil that I didn't want to do, that I did. No, didn't he feel wretched? Because sin is not only in your body, sin wants to rule in your body. Sin reign in you. And with sin, death. If you read Romans, you can't miss that. I don't want sin to rule in my body, do you? Do you want sin to be your boss?
No.
No? Sin dictates. If sin rules, says go and sin. Even though you don't want to, you just go like a very obedient slave. Because it says we were slave of sin. 罪的奴仆. So it's 罪说什么你就去做什么去犯罪好了去犯罪去打麻将去赌博去做这个去做那个发怒你就阿们了发怒出来了哇这个罪啊在你里面作王这不是开玩笑的 This is not a joke. Of course, you're laughing because I'm speaking in Chinese, right? But let me tell you, it's a terrible thing for sin to rule. Now, do you want sin to rule in you? Who rules? What reigns in you? Romans chapter 5 says, in the beginning, sin and death reigns. But then when life comes in, life will reign in you. Now, who reigns in you now? See? You see? 他没有把握。没有把握。 做一个基督徒应该有把握。 You have to have the confidence, the experience, because we have a wonderful sin offering. If you don't understand what sin offering is, then you cannot apply it. You know, many of the Christians, all of us here in the church life, for many years we emphasize the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. We appreciate the blood. Right? So we thought, oh, Lord, sorry, I sin again. I take your precious blood, cleanse me. Tomorrow, oh Lord, I sin again, cleanse me. In the morning, I cleanse me. In the afternoon, cleanse me. At night, cleanse me. Even in the middle of the night, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Oh, so you appreciate the precious blood. I know it's good. It's good to have the precious blood of the Lord. But there is a sin offering that makes you overcome. The sin offering is not just to forgive you. The sin offering is to deal with the very root, the very source of that sin. I'm glad that, where is our brother here? He asked me a question, these two brothers, this afternoon, right? No, is it this afternoon? Yeah, right? This afternoon he asked me, why is it that Moses in the wilderness was asked by God to raise up the image of the serpent, the brazen serpent, the brass serpent. Isn't there a commandment, right, that tells us not to make any image, right? I said, that is not for worship. That is a type of Christ being crucified on a cross. But you have to realize, when the Lord was crucified on a cross, it is not just the Lord Jesus being crucified, it was the serpent being crucified. That is a mystery. It takes some explanation. Is it clear now to you? Very clear now. You stand up and tell us. No, I know it's difficult to explain, but I'm glad you're clear. In order to explain that, you should go to Romans chapter 8. Because we're fallen, the flesh cannot obey God's law. Right? So the law is useless because of the weakness of the flesh. So what did God do? God sent His Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. What is that likeness of the flesh of sin? What is sin? It is the serpent. So the Lord, in a way, became a serpent. Because you and I, as fallen human beings, what did John the Baptist say? You generation of what? Vipers, my goodness. If I say, 你是一条蛇, 你会发怒生气了, 怎么你骂我是一条蛇? What are we? Generation of vipers. Don't be offended. Not by me, by the word of God. John the Baptist told the Pharisees, you generation of vipers. Ihr Schlangenbrut. Sometimes you don't realize that we are a little serpent. We lie, we do so many things. Oh my goodness. So what has the Lord become? In the likeness of the flesh of sin. Only the likeness, outward appearance, but He has no sin. Just like that serpent of brass. It's not a real serpent that Moses catch and tie it on a pole and lift it up. No, Moses did not lift up a real serpent, but God asked Moses to make a serpent of brass and hang it on a pole, on a cross, on a pole there, so that when you look at that pole, look at a brass serpent, you will be healed from the poison because they were bitten by a fiery serpent. And that brazen serpent, the Lord said in John chapter 3, is the Son of Man being lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up that brass serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man will also be lifted up. Now, you should realize that brass means judgment. So when the Lord died on the cross, He judged that serpent. In a real spiritual sense, when Christ died on the cross, Hebrews chapter 2 says what? He destroyed him who has the power of death. And who is that? The devil. You should see that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, the devil was judged there and destroyed. Why? Because the devil injected himself into mankind and made mankind a serpent like him. That's why there's so much trouble in the world. So much trouble today in the world. Right? And then the Lord became the likeness of the flesh of sin in the form of a serpent and yet without sin and joined the human race. Then He took the whole human race with Him to the cross, including the serpent. So the whole serpent was there. So when the Lord was on the cross, the serpent was there on the cross, judged by God. Sin is just another word for the nature of Satan. It's Satan. What is life in you? Who is life in you? Christ is life. And who is sin in you? If life is Christ dwelling in you as the Spirit, now what is sin in you? Definitely. Definitely. Right? So what is the sin offering? The sin offering is not just for forgiveness. It is for dealing with the root of your sin. That's why Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ. So when Christ died on the cross, who died? You should say, I died. Don't think, who died? Who died on the cross? I died. I have been crucified with Christ, because when Christ died on the cross, the whole human race there was brought up to him in the cross. Otherwise, how can he who died on the cross take away the sin of the world? Hard to see, yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, may the Lord open your eyes to see, right? And that is why in Romans chapter 6, when you were baptized, what happened? You were baptized just into the water? No, you were baptized into his death. So baptism is not a formality. Brother David, baptism is a reality. No formality. Don't say, oh, it's just a testimony. No, it's not a testimony. Oh, it's just a testimony that I'm a Christian now. Not just that. No, baptism is to baptize you and plant you into the death of Christ. So when Christ died on the cross, who died now? Tao died, praise the Lord. No, but is that just a belief? Or is that a reality? Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now it's no longer I that live. But who lives now? Christ lives in me. Before you were saved and baptized into Christ, you would say, it's no longer I that live, but sin that lives in me, right? That's Romans 7. And it's real. Is it real or is it not real? That sin dwells in you, is it just a philosophy? No. It's not a philosophy. It's very real. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, you were buried with Christ, right? You were baptized into Christ. So now you have been crucified with Christ. Now it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Is it real? Practical? Day by day? 24 hours? I'm afraid this is just a teaching, a wonderful teaching for so many Christians today. Because they don't have that true realization, I don't want to live. It's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. For Paul, that is not a teaching, that is not an encouragement. This is his reality. Yeah. We made it into a teaching. Then in our understanding, it should no longer be I that live. It should no longer be I. But sorry, it is still I. But I believe it is Christ who lives in me. Yeah? That is our understanding. He who is dead, Paul said in Romans 6, is free from sin. Are you dead?
Yes.
You know my next question. I don't have to ask anymore because he starts to smile because he knows that what comes next.
Yes, I'm free from sin.
Why do you still sin? Why do you still think of returning that 8-inch screwdriver? You see, we don't have that concept. Remember, everything written in the Bible is not philosophical. It is real. It should be our experience. Right. That's why Paul talked about baptism. My old man has been crucified. That a body of sin will stop. And that sin will have no more dominion, will not reign in us anymore. This is why you're being baptized. Too wonderful. This has something to do with our salvation. Right. This is too great and this is too wonderful. Fortunately, many of us are just in the realm of teachings. But if you are a person who lives according to the Spirit, you will see my. They that are Christ's, Galatians chapter 5 says, they have crucified their flesh with all the passions and lusts. Right. And Paul went even to the extent that, don't bother me, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what an experience of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in his body he bears the death, the dying, the putting of death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That death will work in me and life will work in other people. Life will operate in you. There are so many aspects concerning all of these points here. Right? So there is a sin offering which is not just for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the trespass offering. But the matter of the sin offering is to free you. So Romans chapter 8, what did Paul says? Praise the Lord, there is no more condemnation. Why? Why did he say that? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set me free. What did he say? That set me free from the law of sin and death. Wow, it's a liberation. It's a liberation. We need to have such a seeing, such an understanding of the matter of the sin offering. Right? And then Paul says, if you put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, you shall live. Amen. You shall live. This is really wonderful. So you need to praise the Lord that he is your sin offering, not just to forgive you, but to liberate you. Not just to save you from the eternal judgment. Of course, the Lord bore the judgment for you. But that's not enough. The Lord wants to set you free. To set you free. Right? That's why another verse in Hebrews chapter 7, 26, I believe it says, and he is able to save you to the uttermost completely. Not just one third, two thirds, not just 99%. That's not good enough. It's 100%. He is able to save you to the uttermost. Now, you have to pray to the Lord. Amen. You said you can save me to the uttermost. I want to experience that. Lord, I take you as my sin offering. Right? This is the matter of the sin offering. Praise the Lord. Right? For God to deal with it, remember, God, when He deals with something, He deals with it completely.
John?
Yes.
Brother Watchman Nee, mm-hmm. His normal Christian life.
Yes.
He talks about sin with S and sin without S. Can you comment about that?
Yes. Sin without S is the personification of Satan as sin. It's the personified. Right? So sin dwells in me. It is no longer I who did it, but sin, singular, that dwells in me. That is the singular.
The body of sin.
Yes, concerning the body of sin, that sin dwells in me. It's not that many, 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 many sin dwells in me, but sin as the nature personified, right? It is the very nature of the devil. So it's singular. But sins are the many transgressions and offenses that we have committed. Right? So when it dwells in us, it is singular. When it is expressed through you, then it is in many, many different forms. It is plural, such as lying, such as hating, jealousy, envy, strife, and all of that. These are sins, plural. Now, for the sins, we need the precious blood of the Lord and His forgiveness to wash them away. This is the trespass offering. 在圣经里面有个赎罪祭，也有个赎愆祭。 Right? For the sin offering, it is singular. But for the trespass offering, it is plural. Right? So the trespass offering is the forgiveness. That's why you have to confess and take the Lord's blood to cleanse you. This is the matter of the trespass offering, which I don't have to say so much because all of you and all of us have experienced it so many times. Right? If I commit a sin or an offense, I need to deal with it. I need to confess to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Right? Let us all read 1 John. Chapter 1. John is very straightforward. What did he say here? In verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7.
第一章第七节，约翰一书，约翰一书,
yeah. Right. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, you say, if you're in the light, then you realize you're wrong. If you're not in the light, you think you're right because you're in darkness, you don't see, right? And God is light, right? because in the beginning it says here the message, the first message that John announced to us is God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. So it's not just believing. Oh, I believe I'm in the light. You believe in the light? Are you in the light? Oh, I believe. Well, I'm not saying, do you believe you're in the light? I said, are you in the light? I like to ask sharp questions. You know why? Because that's how God deals with me. You cannot lie to God. Either you're in the light or you're in darkness. Right? So, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. There is no compromise between light and darkness. No compromise. If you say that you have fellowship with Him and you walk in darkness, you lie. You do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as God, as He is in the light, then we have real fellowship. If we're in darkness, there's no fellowship. No. No, no, darkness has no fellowship with the light. That's no good. Light and darkness can never go together. Right? Okay, now he says, then we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is really wonderful. This is the trespass offering. There is no sin that cannot be washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to truly confess it from your heart and truly repent. Don't just repent to be washed so that tomorrow you're going to do it again. Then you're lying. Then you're lying. That's why you need two offerings there. One sin offering and one trespass offering, right? Now, it says, but if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. Verse 8, and the truth is not in us. You know, to lie is the typical habit of Satan. Satan has another title. You know what his other title is? He's called the Father of Lies. That's his title. He really graduated from that, and he got a PhD in lying. He's the Father of Lies. So don't lie. You know, we lie since we were babies and a child. Did you eat the candy? No. No. Really, no? Who taught him to lie? The boy. The sin, that very nature. Even until you're adult, you lie. And if you never dealt with it, against it, dealt with and be healed from it, you will be a habitual liar. A terrible thing. Right? So don't underestimate lies. No, don't underestimate. So it says here, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, praise the Lord, if we confess our sins, and this matter of confession is not just to, okay, I'm sorry, I did it, goodbye. No, this confession is out of your heart to God. Right, a true repentance. You cannot hide it from God. Okay? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Forgiveness and cleansing. This is really good. Right? If God forgives you, you can still see the stain. Right? But if it's cleansed, you go through the wash, then it's gone. No more stain. So it's not just forgiveness, it is the washing away to make you clean again. If your grandson disobeys you, let's say lives in your house for a couple of days, he says, don't do such and such and such a thing, but he did it. And the result of that is so much stain in the clothes and all that, and including the face, and the nose, and the hands, oh my goodness, is all stained with all those, whatever it is. So, why did you do that? Oh, sorry, Granny. Sorry, Grandma. Okay, I forgive you. Goodbye. I forgive you. Is it good enough? What would you do? Then the daddy would come home and says, what happened to my son? Oh, don't worry, I already forgave him. And then the mommy would come and says, what happened to my son? The stain is still there, you can see it. Even you yourself can see it. So what do? You wash it. The Lord must wash you, especially your conscience must be washed and cleansed. You know why? To restore the fellowship that you have with God. If it's not washed away, and you're going to the restaurant, right? So you're going to take the little boy as just as he is. Not just to the restaurant, to the wedding feast. What about that? Right, Andreas, are you going to take the baby just as the baby was, the boy, Daniel, just as he is, and all muddy and dirty and all this everywhere? And the guest giver, your host, oh, what happened to your boy? Oh, don't worry, I already forgave him. You cannot just forgive, but you have to wash him. And after he is washed, he'll be very pleasant. But if he's so dirty, would you like to give me a hug, tell him, just as he is, so muddy, and okay, give Grandma a hug. Would you do that? Are you sure? Don't you love Daniel? Yeah, so give him a hug. Give him a hug. You forgive him already. Give him a hug. No, you won't give him a hug. No fellowship. No fellowship. Right? So you have to wash him. Cleanse everything. Wash him. And at the end, he'll smell good and look good, clean and white. You know, the bride of Christ at the very end in the book of Revelation is what? Oh, clean, white, and bright. And that wonderful garment of linen is the righteous acts of all the saints. It is really wonderful. Don't underestimate that little feeling of the 8 inches screwdriver. Because that little thing shows you God is righteous, even if it is only 5 inches or 2 inches screwdriver. This is how righteous our God is. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now you can see, hopefully tonight, the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering.
Amen.
So the Lord says here, right, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is really good. Right, praise the Lord. This is the trespass offering. God is very righteous. And if you stole from somebody, don't just say, okay, sorry, I stole $500 from you. Sorry, George, forgive me. But you keep the $500 still in your pocket and walk away. No. In the trespass offering, there is a restitution. Not only you return the money, you have to add how many percent? I believe it's 25%. Right. You have to add to return it. God is righteous. If you just return the 500, that's not enough. You have to add that percentage. The Lord is righteous. Otherwise, one day the Lord will increase that interest. The Lord will increase the interest. Because the longer you keep it, the more interest you have. So, well, it's better to pay now than to pay later. Right? So, if we want to really worship the Father, you also learn to be the kind of worshiper that could also bring the sin and the trespass offering to fulfill the righteousness, the righteous requirements. Right? Here it says in Romans 8, let me read to you. Right. Yeah, Romans 8. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, because the flesh cannot keep the law. Right. God did it. He sent His own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and as an offering for sin, it says here in the New American Standard, in order that a requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk or no longer walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So if you are a person walking according to the Spirit, you will be one who the righteous requirements of the law by the Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ will be fulfilled in you. You will become a righteous person. You will not only be justified by God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will also be made the righteousness of God. My, what a thorough dealing that is. Don't think that we don't need to deal with that, or we have to deal with it. May the Lord have mercy on us to open our eyes that we will be those who prepared such an offering, right, to offer up to the Father. Praise the Lord. Any questions? No more.
What about that? I know somebody had a question about that sin in Matthew 12, about the sin against the Spirit, where he says
sin against the Holy Spirit that will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. I know some have that question.
That is a very special sin that was committed by the Jews during the time when the Lord Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Because the Lord Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then for sure the kingdom has come amongst you. Now, the problem with the Jews at that time is they knew that Jesus was sent by God. They didn't believe he's the Messiah, but they knew that he's from God because John the Baptist testifies that. So they did believe in their heart. They know. They may not admit it, but they know. And now, knowing that the Lord Jesus cast out the demons by the Holy Spirit, and they purposely said he cast out the demons by Beelzebub, the king of the demons, that is a blasphemy, a sin against the Holy Spirit. Calling the Holy Spirit the king of the demons, you dare to do that? Huh? Are you sure? You see that here is a brother who is doing something according to the Holy Spirit, and you are envious of him, and you say, oh, no, no, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's a demon. Will you do that? Knowing that it's from the Holy Spirit, I don't think you can do that. None of us who really are born again and have the Holy Spirit within us, you will, maybe you will do it unknowingly, ignorantly, because you thought it's really from the demons, or that's something else. But knowing 100% for sure that the Lord cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, then because they're envious and before everybody, they said, oh, no, 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 don't believe him. He cast out demons by Beelzebub. And that is a sin against the Holy Spirit, which cannot be forgiven. What does it mean that it cannot be forgiven? Because if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you receive?
Spirit.
What kind of spirit? Demonic spirit?
No, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. But previously, you purposely called the Holy Spirit Beelzebub, the devil. So how can you receive the Holy Spirit if you purposely called and knowingly called the Holy Spirit a demon? There is no more chance for you to believe, to be saved. It cannot be. Because, yes, because you already rejected. Not only rejected, you blaspheme. That's a blaspheme, right? You blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. So that sin, it cannot be forgiven. There's no way. But today, you're already saved. Born again. You have the Holy Spirit within you already. So it is impossible for you to knowingly, purposely, in a wicked way, knowing that it's the work of the Holy Spirit, you call it a demonic spirit. I don't think you will do that. I don't think you can do that. Can you call God the devil?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Yeah. But if somebody who is not saved, knowing that it's God and call him the devil, oh, that is very bad. Don't do that. Right. So that is a special kind of sin that the Lord said will not be forgiven. But today we as the believers, or somebody who ignorantly say that, that is not a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, but it is somebody who purposely said that. So this is not just the people ignorantly saying it. These are the high priest, the Pharisees, the scribes who is saying that out of jealousy and envy and strife. That is the sin against the Holy Spirit. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. I think we had a long day today, so we'll end this just 5 minutes early. Well, anyway, 5 minutes is better than nothing, right? Praise the Lord.